Yeah, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the first session. As the chair of this session, it's my pleasure and privilege to welcome and to introduce very briefly the speakers of this panel in order of appearance, as you can see, before I will get into my introductory remarks. Sadhan Afif is a French artist based in Berlin who was awarded, amongst others, the Marcel Duchamp Prize in 2009, and who in recent years, has built up the so-called Fountain Archives, a magnificent artwork, and you'll hear more about that very soon. As respondents, we are lucky enough to have, on the one hand, Annette Tietenberg, who is a professor of art history at the Academy of Fine Arts in Braunschweig, and who has published vastly on many aspects related to the issues of our session. On the other, and last but not least, we have Thomas Gürst, who you may know, for instance, from the Preis der Nationalgalerie as the global head of cultural engagement at the BMW Group, but who in our context may be known even better as one of the leading German Duchamp scholars. So a very warm welcome to all of you, and let's just get started. What was the ready-made, and even more important, what was or is the ready-made after the ready-made? One of the best definitions, if the ready-made is to be defined at all, one of the best definitions of the ready-made can be found in Helen Molesworth, who considers the ready-made to be a discursive field or a discursive formation, to put it with Foucault. For Molesworth, this field contains the ready-made objects Duchamp made in the 1910s, the replicas Duchamp that were produced in the 50s and 60s, Duchamp's notes, interviews, and lectures, that means Duchamp as a self-agent, and last but not least, the extraordinary reception of the ready-mades by art historians. I would recommend to add the reception of the ready-made by artists, and especially the adaptation of Duchamp's gesture as a very common art practice since the late 1950s. Nowadays, we are quite familiar with the encounter of ready-made objects as works of art in exhibitions. For instance, a wall-mounted trash can that seems to reverse classical street art interventions. A collection of classy shopping bags that, on the one hand, superficially presents itself as the spoil of a luxury shopping tour, and on the other hand, exposes consumer culture as the true religion in consumer culture and in the art system. An age-old wooden stretcher that has lost its painted canvas through a theft in an Italian church, so to say, that has lost its art, and now leans as a leftover against one of the walls in the Venetian Arsenale as art. And, to add a last example, a customary urinal whose title does not refer anymore to Duchamp's fountain, but to Sherry Levine's fountain, which is not a urinal at all, but a bronze cast, presumably taken from a urinal. With the exception of Levine, all these works are ready-mades in a commonly accepted sense, that is to say, in an objectivistic sense. Please forgive me this neologism, but it wouldn't make sense to speak of an objective sense. There is no such thing as an objective sense. The objectivistic notion of the ready-made has been informed primarily by André Breton, especially since his early definition of the ready-made in the Dictionnaire abrégé du surréalisme in 1938. Breton defines the ready-made as, quote, an ordinary object elevated to the dignity of a work of art by the mere choice of an artist, end quote. Such a notion of the ready-made as an object consecrated to an artwork began to spread at the latest since the Exposition Surréaliste d'Objets in Paris in 1936, a totally oversimplifying conception or reception of the ready-made, that nowhere condenses itself more than in the writings of Pierre Restany. The self-imposed impresario of Nouveau Realisme considered Duchamp's ready-made gesture to be an artistic baptism of the useful object. Following this claim, Restany in 1961, in his second manifesto of Nouveau Realisme, justified a new contemporary practice in art. Later, he would speak of the neo-ready-made. For in the contemporary context, Restany wrote in 1961, quote, "The ready-mades of Marcel Duchamp gain a new meaning. Henceforth, they reflect the right to a direct expression of a whole sector of modern activity. It as the one of the city, the one of the street, the one of the workshop, the one of mass production. The new realists regard the world as a painting, the great fundamental work whose fragments, full of comprehensive meaning, they appropriate." End quote. According to Restany, in the modern world, everything is already ready-made. Thus, one only merely has to take it, has to appropriate it. Restany was well aware about the consequences. Quote, "The ready-made is not the peak of negativity anymore, but the basic element of a whole new repertoire of expression." End quote. Thus, Isabel Graf, who will be with us tomorrow, accurately writes that Duchamp's ready-mades, as they were received and adopted in mid-20th century, that is to say, as objects, Duchamp's ready-mades, quote, "mark the extension of the zone of appropriation in that they extended the possible area from which objects can be appropriated," end quote. Already in 1945, New York gallery owner Sidney Janis has described the underlying mechanism. Quote, "The object is endowed as a work of art by virtue of the insight and authority of the artist's selection. Selection is here no longer just a step in a process, it becomes a completed technique." End quote. Indeed, since mid-20th century, countless artists have extensively, as you all know, made use of choosing and signing as a self-evidently de-skilled technique. However, the choice of a customary object and the use of the artist's signature did not always exclusively serve an emphatic appropriation, but occasionally more a commodification of this very object consecrated into a work of art. Like in the case of Andy Warhol, who over a long period signed Campbell's soup cans and dollar bills, Warhol literally increased the bills to carriers of his authorship and authority by using them like autograph cards and therewith changing their status and inevitably increasing their exchange value. Such commercialization and commodification ranges from Mimo Rotella's self-ironic Petit Monument à Rotella to Joseph Beuys' noiseless blackboard eraser and Martin Kippenberger's Alkoholfalter, up to Sherry Levine's edition of Two Shoes. Replicas of those pairs of shoes that Levine sold for $2 each in a gallery in New York in 1976. So to say, a self-appropriation, if not a commodification of a former artistic attitude. Oh, sorry, that's the Levine multiple and the original, one of the original shoes from 1976. In 1996, Italian artist Maurizio Cattelan commented in his very own manner on the complete disposability of the technique and the ubiquity of art objects produced by this very completed technique of choosing and signing. Due to the fact that the curators of the group show Crapshoot at the Art Center De Appel in Amsterdam gave him only very little time to consider a contribution, but surely also inspired by the concept of the exhibition that was supposed to deal with transgressive interventions, Cattelan decided to take the path of least resistance. Without further ado, he broke into the nearby Gallery Bloom There he cleared the offices and exhibition spaces, including the exhibits of Dutch artist Paul de Roys. He then wrapped everything in foil and packed it into crates, and afterwards displayed the stolen items as his contribution of the exhibition crapshoot. Regardless of the question if the whole story is true or not, the disrespectful title speaks of Catalan's attitude towards contemporary ready-made practices. Another fucking ready-made. I wonder if with Catalan, the ready-made after the ready-made attains a point where in the 1910s, the initial ready-made had started. Because the initial ready-made, at least in its early days, as Dieter has already mentioned, was not an object. In any case, it can or should not be reduced to its objecthood. Even more not to an object that Duchamp would have promoted to the dignity of artworks, as Dieter has already mentioned. Already half a century ago, Mexican writer and Duchamp interpreter Octavio Paz pointed out that Duchamp's ready-made was not an object. Paz realized that in the ready-made, we have to deal with a profoundly individual artistic practice that cannot be managed with an objectivistic notion of art. Quote Paz, one could almost say that the ready-made is not a work of art at all, but a gesture that can be executed only by one artist, and not even by any artist, but even just by Marcel Duchamp, end quote. In accordance to Paz, the ready-made is a very specific, even individualistic artistic practice, a practice Duchamp developed, as he put it later in his life, to revolt against formulating. We could consider his practice being specific in a double sense of the word. Specific insofar as Duchamp's ready-made practice was radically different from any other artistic practice in the 1910s. Specific as well in the sense that his practice is inseparably linked to Duchamp, to his attitude that, amongst others, condensed in one of his notes that later became very famous and is tightly connected to the ready-made. Quote, can one make works that are not art? In asking for works that are not art, Duchamp asked himself to make something without having to make by hand. A ready-made object like fountain therefore results, as Duchamp put it, from the choice of an object that is ready-made. Instead of making it, it is ready-made. It results from the choice of something manufactured that is made by the hand of another man. Then, instead of making, I take it ready-made, end quote. Submitting the urinal fountain anonymously to the Society of Independent Artists in New York in April 1917 was Duchamp's litmus test on the question of non-art. Duchamp launched a commercially available object, and that, of course, immediately provoked controversy, but not a scandal, as is often to be read. Its rejection then confirmed officially an entitled, signed, and dated urinal is not art. Thus, Duchamp would hardly have been surprised, in fact, he would have been delighted, reading in the New York Herald on April 11th that the urinal is, quote, by no definitions, a work of art, end quote. Playfully, Duchamp had achieved the certificate that half a century later Marcel Brothas attached to the exhibits in his Musée d'Art Moderne by means of labels, indeed as art, indicating this is not a work of art. It is one of the great staircase widths of art history that those replicas produced in 1964 as stand-ins for Duchamp's mostly lost initial ready-mades of the 1910s are not ready-made at all, but meticulously constructed sculptures imitating manufactured objects. Dieter Daniels, in his forthcoming book on the object history of the ready-made, speaks of post-ready-mades. In my own forthcoming book, I prefer to call these accurate replicas remakes. Just a little bit of self-promotion. Indeed, this is not a book, but more a Robert Gober fake. Dieter writes that The ready-mades of the 1910s were supposed to avoid any character of an art commodity, but were now, in 1965, by means of reproduction, converted into these very art commodities. Maybe one could elaborate a little bit on this and say that the remades are non-works, to put it with Georges Didier Hubermont, because Duchamp did not do more than to approve the technical drawings and to sign the copies by hand with his written signature, something he would not do with the initial readymades. In the 1910s, he mostly wrote his name on the objects, but did not sign them in the conventional sense. Actually, he avoided the gesture of the signature. So maybe the remades are, to reverse Duchamp's note already quoted, non-works that are art. Nonetheless, since half a century, the remades are exposed in museums as readymades themselves, once again in Breton's objectivistic sense, as allegedly ordinary objects elevated to the dignity of works of art. Yet, of course, the remades do not repeat the initial readymades because they are not homogeneous, they are not of the same type. Homogeneity, remarks Foucault, serves repetition, with resemblance, while resemblance serves representation. The remades represent the ready-made objects of the 1910s, most of them lost long time ago. But they represent them in a very unique way. The remades maintain a very exceptional relationship to the initial ready-mades, a relationship that is not shaped within the linear chronological logic of archetype and imitation. Against the chronological logics of the prevenient and the subsequent, one could almost say, as far as the history of reception is concerned, the subsequent stand-ins are the primary, which, in referring back to something in the past, constitutes this very something as the chronologically primary. The remades act like something that the rhetoric since Quintilian calls hypotyposis, that is, bringing before the eyes, which lends immediate clarity to the absent. Jörg Türschmann, professor of Romance languages in Vienna, describes the effect of hypotyposis as follows. Quote, original and copy, cause and effect, model and delineation get into such a tight relation that they become indistinguishable, end quote. It seems that Duchamp, in appropriating himself, mixed up things quite a bit in his later life. In 1915, Duchamp stumbled upon the catchword ready-made in New York, where it was mainly used to designate mass-produced ready-to-wear clothing. The term was rarely used for furniture, as far as it's my impression, and sometimes, as you can see on the left, for prefabricated cigarettes. In his book Ready-Made Democracy, the U.S. historian Michael Zakim explains how ready-made garments started competing with made-to-measure garments in the U.S. in the late 18th and over the course of the 19th century. Zakim even calls it a ready-made age and a ready-made world. The tailoring trade, founded on personal and on literally physical contact, individualism and craftsmanship, on the one hand, and the anonymous wholesale trade in ready-mades, were at the time understood as the contrast between antiquated and modern, and between individualistic and collective. Not later than by the time Duchamp came across the term ready-made in New York in 1915, the concept ready-made had lost these political and ideological connotations. In the textile trade, it was being increasingly supplanted by the more neutral term apparel. However, the term ready-made clothing could still be seen in department stores and advertisements. Ready-made clothing items played a vital role in the success of the department stores being perfectly suited to the large-scale store's philosophy of moving goods quickly and in large quantities, Therefore, we may regard ready-made clothing as the symbol for the logic of consumer culture. However, I wonder if the adjective ready-made is appropriate as a synonym for all commodities and consumer goods. Nevertheless, Jamie Hamilton Ferris, in her recent book on global dimensions of the ready-made, even claims the concept ready-made for all artworks dealing with consumer culture and globalization, and calls these works contemporary ready-made practices, respectively, contemporary ready-made artistic practices, new artistic ready-made forms, contemporary artistic ready-made approaches, ready-made operations and ready-made art, and accordingly, contemporary ready-made art. One cannot deny the huge impact of the initial ready-made on post-war art practices, and specifically on recent contemporary art practices, derives to a great extent from the way the historical ready-made articulated a response to the rise in community culture, writes Ralph Rugoff in a recent essay. Rugoff is right. One cannot overestimate the importance of the influence of Duchamp's ready-made in terms of opening up consideration as to how art practices might critically position themselves in relation to the broader consumer culture. In contemporary art, we find countless works of art that employ the vocabulary of industry and seem to stand in the tradition of the ready-made, although some of them, like Robert Goebel's meticulously handcrafted fake products, are not ready-made at all. And others, like Isaac Genskin's figures, stand at least with one leg in the tradition of assemblage art as well. To come to an end, yes, Duchamp used goods to emancipate himself from conventional and traditional notions of art. But in Duchamp, the ready-made was an act of self-liberation, a secession from art, whereas contemporary ready-made practices conventionally used consumer goods as art material, occasionally to criticize consumer culture, globalization, and the like. Eventually, one of the tasks of this conference might be to distinguish different phenomena within the so-called ready-made century, which we cover with one and the same designation, namely the ready-made. Thank you very much. And now it's your turn, Saddam.